trip in and kind of like you immediately just like feel closer and like you can move on to the next step to just like share whatever you want to share because your identity is already like accepted and understood right off the bat. Whereas that might be something that queer people need to be like weary of when they're not like a fully queer space. And then like having like every meeting that we've had, like it always ends with like people just saying like, oh, it's just so nice to be in this like virtual space with all queer people. Like it's like this feeling that an energy that is really meaningful because like I feel like queer people in all these different ways and based on your gender and experience and body and like race, like you unconsciously like hide or perform or act in these certain ways throughout your entire life to like keep you safe and protected. And being in an explicitly safe queer space, like you don't have to necessarily perform anymore. And it's so nice. And you could just get at like a more deeper level with people, which is nice. And like I think that most people that do community food work, it's like they're really connected to it. It's like not just their job, it's like they're it's part of their identity. So even though it is in like a professional space, like we work with like staff of these places, like they're also like sharing things that are like so important to their identity and at the same time. And so it's really nice to yeah, create a safe space around that that everyone could be like supportive and understand each other.
Yeah, definitely. And you're involved in like multiple areas of Right to Food as well, right? So I wanted to know, like, what does it mean to be involved in community food work for you? Like, what is the meaning you find in it, and why is it important to you?
It means so much to me. Yeah, like I said, I've been like doing this for 9+ years in all these different ways as like a facilitator of like food programs on like working on a farm to like now overseeing this national youth food program and the Queer Food Project. I think like on like a visceral level, like just like being able to interact with food and like cook, eat, and grow food is so meaningful to me. It's so therapeutic. Definitely like really helps my mental health and also is an avenue that has allowed me to connect to my culture a lot. My background is Iranian and my relatives in Iran, like a lot of them grew food and I got to see that whenever I visited when I was young. So that was a way that I connected and learned about my identity more. And I love to make space in the programs that I've run for others to have that experience as well. But then also on this like national level where I'm supporting people from afar, it is so cool to learn about all the different ways that people run their programs to fit their community and bring in like the culture of like the participants they work with. And be able to like connect someone who's like running a program in BC to like someone who's running a program in like New Brunswick and be able to like share and learn from each other is really amazing. Yeah, and like I said, like many people, like this is like so connected to my identity. Like it means a lot to me, and it's not just a job. And I think that also like it's so hard when people work jobs that are connected to them rather than like something they could like leave at work and disconnect with when they're home. But it's also very special to be able to do that as well.
Yeah, that's great. We definitely need more people like you who are so, passionate about their work, especially in these types of organizations as well. And yeah, what else do I want to say? I guess I just also want to know, you're talking about how you know, there's national and there's also like some local work involved in this. So what other work is the Queer Food Project doing locally and or nationally?
Well, what are we doing? Those are the things that we still need to identify.
Yeah. I mean, it is new.
It's new. Mm-hmm. And so I think like the next things that we're going to do are, work on like creating resources and like toolkits that people can use to train their own staff and volunteers around making inclusive spaces. Hopefully one day have like an in-person event, invite like more speakers who want to share about their queer food programs, and how they like bring their queer identity into their practice and like work. There's many possibilities.
Yeah, I get it. There's a lot to probably identify and plan, and also working in a nonprofit, it's hard to like have the resources necessary to do what you want to do.
Exactly.
Yeah. I know you talked about mapping queer food programs across Canada and about some of the benefits, but I was wondering if there's any challenges as well to doing this type of work, and I'm sure there are.
I think so the network of people that are part of the Queer Food Project, like all have, you know, their full jobs at these nonprofits. And this is kind of the thing that they're part of, like on the side. And so it's so hard to bring something together when it's not like part of someone's like core, job and like what they do at work, and it's just something on the side that they're supporting and working on. So just like working with like very busy people.
Mm-hmm.
And working like virtually, I think, because we're on a national scale, the only way that I can connect with people most of the time is virtually. And I feel like it's like becoming harder and harder to do that because it's really nice to have it in person.
Yeah, definitely.
Connections, but yeah.
Okay. And I mean, if you have a little more time, I would like to talk about your other work with land-based and with, you know, the Mindful Youth program that you're running, because that sounds really interesting as well. If you could just tell me a little bit about that, I'd love to hear it. I'm sure our listeners would as well.
Sure. So yeah, the program is called Mind Your Food, and it's been running since 2019. And it started at 3 sites across Canada, and then it grew to 7 sites in the past 3 years. And then we just got funding to grow it to 15 sites across Canada, across, I believe, like 6 provinces. And so it is a program that prioritizes youth that identify as Indigenous, newcomer, and or racialized, all because there are higher rates of food insecurity and poor mental health outcomes for those populations. And the program aims to offer a program for youth that is all based in food and land-based activities, with the goal of strengthening what we call mental health protective factors. So things like strengthening like cultural identity or reducing social isolation or strengthening like emotional and social skills and feeling of community and all these things that can make you more resilient to poor mental health outcomes. And also having this experience where youth can engage in food and land-based activities to feel like connected and learn about themselves and like each other and their communities. And what those activities look like are anywhere from like cooking cultural foods, like making a fire outside, going on like a walk or a hike, Going, some of our Indigenous-led organizations lead land-based camps where they invite local hunters and trappers to accompany them on camp trips, and they go hunting together with the youth, or do berry picking, or learn from like elders in their community and their stories. Yeah, there's so many different things that the programs do based on the community they're set in. We work with like northern rural communities in like Saskatchewan and like Newfoundland and British Columbia, and then ones in like major cities like Toronto and Vancouver and Winnipeg. They're really special just because like youth. It's really nice to connect over doing those activities or being in the kitchen or being outside. Just becomes like a bit easier to connect when like your hands are busy or you're in this like relaxing environment or you're excited about the thing that you're doing. And it's this really beautiful way of looking at mental health in this preventative way, because so many things are focused around like treatment, and like once you have depression, anxiety, ADHD, and everything, like what can we do to treat that? But there's so many things we can do to be more preventative and create more like resilient youth in this world where they're like increasingly feeling more like disconnected from like all the things going on.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. Because outside of this job, I actually study psychology, and I know, like, especially with like Indigenous groups and also like other marginalized groups, that the amount of daily stressors that they also face can compound over time, leading to even worse mental health, like alongside the ongoing effects of colonialism, and how you mentioned that like poor mental health can be associated with food insecurity as well. So it's just like this whole web that you are, navigating and trying to go through with this project, which is really, really cool. I love that.
Thank you. Oh, yeah. And it's so exciting. Two of the organizations that we're working with this coming year for this youth program are going to be specifically offering a queer youth, like Mind Your Food version of the program. So yeah, it'll be curated for like queer youth and engaging with those food and land-based activities.
That's great. And why is it so crucial to have these youth-based programs, do you think?
Yeah, I think like there's reasons why at like every age it's like
Yeah,
so
definitely.
important to be like connected to community and like have access to all these types of things. But I think youth in particular, it's this time like aged between like 12 and 18 where you are finding yourself. You're very like influenced by the world around you, and you're also like gaining greater consciousness about like all the things that go on around you. And being in like high school and elementary school can be like a really tough, scary age. And especially when we're working with the youth that we do that are disproportionately affected by like racism, colonialism, and poverty, dealing with all those things while all that is going on, it's so important to have like a safe, welcoming space. That is like fun, but also like really supportive, and also like allows you to start learning about these things, like food justice issues and how to connect to community and how to strengthen your emotional and social skills, in like a really welcoming, easy space, to do that. Because yeah, most of the youth that come to this program are like experiencing something that ho at home or coming from like a foster home or yeah, dealing with like poor mental health or like food insecurity already. And it's really important to have a safe space, and youth programs are often the first programs that are cut from community organizations because there is not that much funding, for youth programming.
And just touching a little bit more on how you talked about, at least the medical system is very reactionary, and the idea of having this more preventative or even, you know, like transformative healing rather than just baseline to changing something. And that sounds quite therapeutic in a way, like you also said. I was wondering if you could just expand a little bit on like those kinds of experiences.
Yeah. I mean, what that makes me think of is that there's a lot of youth in this program that their access to like their cultural practices has been removed from them, be it like newcomer youth who are like coming to Canada from other countries that, you know, they're disconnected from their like cultural practices, cultural food practices, cultural food once they're in this new country, or like it takes some time to find again. Or if it's like Indigenous youth that have moved to like a city from a reserve, or, you know, don't have like a stable family network. Yeah, there's all these ways that youth are like disconnected from their culture. And one thing that's really special about this Mind Your Food program is that it puts a real importance on bringing in like culture through food and land-based practices. And so what that looks like is like, I'll give you several examples. Like there's a program in Thunder Bay, and they connect with local like fishers and hunters. So they've taken youth hunting or like ice fishing, and it's something youth have never done before, but it's something that like Indigenous folks in that community have like done for many, many years. And so it's this way for them to like learn about these cultural food practices through this program, and to maybe start to like ask questions and become curious like to their own family or community about their identity. Or like programs have invited like youth's like parents to come lead a cooking activity to share a cultural recipe, that are like usually like newcomer families, and maybe they don't have like the most skills like in English speaking, but they're like still able to share a recipe and like help cook and share their food knowledge, which is so beautiful. I think, yeah, we're like working in all these ways where cultural identity and like mental health are not like black and white with youth, and they're so connected to all these like dynamics and like the access and experiences they have, and we're just trying to meet them where they're at, and not like assume or like push anything on them, but really have them like be able to like explore and be curious, and then like identify the things they want to learn more about, which I think can be like really therapeutic. Because often it can be like very, those things can be very traumatizing, or like it can be hard to have youth to like feel safe enough to connect to them.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, the work you're doing is great. It's been lovely to chat with you today. And if you want to tell our listeners anything about how they can support Right to Food or get involved, that would also be very much appreciated.
Yeah, it's been so lovely to chat too. It's so nice to have space to like be able to share about our work, and it also gives me just this chance to like reflect and remind myself all the things we do and why they're important. But I encourage listeners to just check out Right to Food and our website. We often publish really great blogs and pieces about the work that we do, whether it's like informational or stories from the partners that we work with, and like the meaningful work they do around community food work. And then also to just advocate for like more spaces that acknowledge the stories of queer people in food, and how their identity kind of influences what they do. Thank you.
Nice. Thank you so much. So that concludes the interview portion of this segment, and for the rest of the hour we will be playing some tracks that we found. And yeah, so thank you so much for listening to this episode of Super Summer Programming. The podcast will be available online at cjsf.ca, as well as the link to Right to Food if you're interested in getting involved or supporting them. And next up, I will be playing a song by Sparkle Mommy called Penso en Voce, and it's from her debut album, which is called In This Body. It's funky, there's influences of soul and jazz and Mexican bolero. Enjoy.
Back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. You just heard Sparkle Mommy, Penso en Voce from In This Body. And before that, you heard an interview done by our summer programming assistant Stella with Hilda Nori about the Queer Food Project. You can find out more information about that on our website, cjsf.ca, as well as a full recording of that, that interview. We're right near the end of today's episode of Speak Up. Tomorrow in this time slot from 10 to 11, you will hear the next episode of Super Summer Programming featuring the aforementioned Stella and Hallelujah. I hear there's going to be some hot Canadian jazz, as well as some other things, so tune in for that. And today, well, it's Thursday at CJSF, which you may know. And if you didn't, now you do, now you will know that Thursday is a great day here at CJSF. We've got, Democracy Now! Coming up, and then we've got Beats and Eats, we've got the George Bastian Show, we've got Free Voices, we've got Call Me Negotiator, The Arts Show, Analog Archives, Wham Bam East Van, 60 Minute Stage Dive, Rad Radio. It just doesn't ever stop. It just keeps going, and it's great. And stick around. Thanks for listening and supporting this radio station, your campus community radio station, CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm going to leave you with some more local music. This I played on this show before, but I love it and I love the band, so we're going to do it again. It's the latest from King Bob. Well, the latest original from King Bob. They just released a cover that I could play, but it's not quite as radio friendly as this one. So we're going to hear Some Dumb Kid, a song about the 2011 Vancouver Stanley Cup riots by King Bob. And Democracy Now! Is up next, so hang out. Bye.
CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.